These are directions, then, that are given to those who would later speak the word of God in times of great difficulty. And it follows, of course, that they are there for directions for us. They lay out how we are to speak the word of God to other people who are in captivity, who are facing great difficulty. How are we to bear witness to Jesus Christ?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, last time we began looking at how do believers begin to speak into the world, kind of the tone in which we speak. It looks like today we're going to look a little bit more at the substance.
It's really important to be clear about what the message of the gospel actually is. Steve, I've been looking at a book by a scholar who did research on what is being preached in many churches. Mm-hmm. And the research gave rise to this title, All is Forgiven. And what this writer found was that what was being said in many churches is simply, hey, everybody, you are forgiven. Well, that's not the gospel.
Yeah.
In Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. Outside of him, there is this terrible, terrible lostness, which is the reason why we have to come to Jesus Christ. So knowing what the gospel is and that it is the good news of what is ours in Jesus is really, really important.
And that's what we're looking at today. If you can, I hope you'll open your Bible and join us in Isaiah chapter 40 as we continue our message, The Glory of the Lord. Here's Pastor Colin.
You want to serve God well? Listen to what God says in Scripture. Look at this. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. If we are to be useful in speaking into the lives of others, we need to have minds and hearts that are well saturated in what God himself actually says. In other words, your ministry, your usefulness to God will be an overflow of your own walk with God in his word. You cannot give to others what you have not received yourself, and the word of God has to come with power to you before it can come with power through you. It must be in you in order that it can come from you. Paul speaks about this. It happens in all kinds of ways. Do you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, now, God has comforted us so that we may be able to comfort others with the comfort with which he has first comforted us. In other words, the reality of an experience of the grace of God and of the truth of God has become earthed in Paul's own experience so that out of this, he is able to minister effectively to others. You want to be useful? Be in the place where you're listening to what God says in Scripture. And here's the fourth thing. You want to be useful to the Lord? Speak for him usefully. Ask God to fill you with his Spirit. Now, I take this directly from verse 1 and the link to John's Gospel. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. And you ask the question, well, how in the world can I comfort God's people? How can I bring hope? How can I bring help to others? And you read that very striking word, comfort, and surely your mind goes to, who is the comforter? And you remember how Jesus said, it's translated in different ways, in different versions, but Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, I will ask the Father, and he will give to you another Comforter, John chapter 14 and verse 16. Ask God to make you a Christian who is filled with his word and is filled with his Spirit. Do you know, to me, one of the most tragic pictures in all of the Bible is the picture of Jonah when he was asleep. You remember in the bottom of the ship, in the middle of a life-threatening storm. And here are all the ship's crew, and not one of them knows God. Not one of them. And they're in an absolute panic for their life. And there's one man in the ship who knows God. And he has absolutely nothing to say because he's pathetically caught up in the trivia of his own altercation with God and his own resistance to the will of God. What's the use of the man of faith in that situation? You do not want to be that man. You do not want to go into this Christmas as a believer with a kind of beef with God, your own altercation, your own fight. No, you want to be in the place where by the mercy of God, you have come to be freshly filled with His Word and freshly filled with His Spirit. So that in this world where so many people are desperately lost and know nothing of the God who has laid hold of your life, that you may be of some use, some value, that there may be some readiness to make a difference. So ask God to fill you with your Spirit. How can you really pray for others if you are not even praying for yourself? How can you bring God's word into the lives of others if you are not daily bringing it into your own life? How can there be any comfort from the Spirit that emanates from you if you are not experiencing the comfort of the Spirit for yourself? Ministry to others is always the overflow of what God is doing in your life. So live in the Word of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Learn to speak tenderly. And remember, when all is done, you're only a voice, you're not a name, so that the one name that matters will get all of the glory. Can you imagine the impact of an entire church being alive in the way that Isaiah is describing here? Who knows what God will do? The messenger. That's us. It's what we're being called to. As God places us strategically in His own purposes for these next days and for these coming years. The messenger, how we are to speak for God. More briefly, the message, what we have received from God. And as we seek to prepare ourselves to really be useful to the Lord over this Christmas season especially, how marvelous that all that we have received from God in Jesus Christ is so wonderfully anticipated right here in this scripture. Perhaps you've come to church today and you're not yet in a position of being a committed Christian. And in your mind you're saying, well, I understand about all the birth of Jesus and so forth, but what really is the point? What really comes of all of this? What's it really all about? What difference does it actually make? 2,000 years ago, what difference does it make for my life today? And I want just very simply here in this last part to give you an outline of the Christian message that just falls out of these verses, and it will be easy to remember. And so for those who are believers here, you can take it, you can use it, and it will be an easy way for you to speak perhaps in God's goodness over these next days about the things of Jesus Christ. What is the message? Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her. Cry what? That her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Let me give you it in a sentence here and just break it up into these very simple steps. What is the message? It begins here, peace established. That's what God has done in Jesus Christ. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem that her warfare is ended. Now here are these people, and for years and years there has been this great conflict with God. They have been the object of His love, but they have lost His blessing. Their constant idolatry has brought them to this desperate place. They have been exiles. They have been prisoners of war. Life has been grim. And here God says, tell this word, her warfare is ended. Here's a reconciliation that's taking place with God. Peace, the end of war. And you know that that is right at the heart of the Christmas story. Why has Jesus Christ come into the world? When He is born, the angels say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth what? Peace, goodwill towards men on whom God's favor rests. And here we have God reaching out to end a war, to end conflict, a war that's gone back to the beginning of time. God giving an amnesty. God's saying to his own enemies, here is a time where there can be peace. Here is a time where there can be reconciliation. Here is a time for the warfare to be ended. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come into the world to resolve this conflict that lies deeper in every person, deeper in you than any other conflict you will ever experience, and that is the conflict between you and God. And how? How is there to be peace? Well, notice what he says next. Peace established because a pardon is secured, that her iniquity is pardoned. Here's this God who lays claim to our lives and we've been resisting him. Here's this God against whom we've been sinning and breaking his commandments. And what is he doing? He's reaching out in love. And he's reaching out to forgive. He's not reaching out to impose the condemnation of the law. No, he's reaching out to embrace you, to reconcile you, to use the Bible's word, to save you. Peace established. Pardon secured. And this comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, who has authority to forgive sins. He says to a paralyzed man on one occasion, "Your sins are forgiven." And everyone around was saying at the time, well, now, how can he say this? Because no one has the authority to forgive sins except God. And of course, here he is, God in the flesh, and he's here for this purpose, securing a pardon. How does he secure a pardon? This pardon, where does it come from? How is Jesus able to forgive sins? Answer, peace is established and a pardon secured because a payment has been made.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called The Glory of the Lord. It's part of a larger series where we're taking a look at Isaiah chapter 40 called Waiting for the Lord. That's also the title of Pastor Colin's Advent devotional book that we would love to send you as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You know, this is a 24-day devotional that will help you prepare for the Christmas season, and it's our gift to you as our way of saying thanks for your financial support. You can find out more or give online when you come to our website, openthebible.org, or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or again, our website is openthebible.org. All right, let's get back to the message. Once again, here is Pastor Colin.
How is Jesus able to forgive sins? Answer, peace is established and a pardon secured because a payment has been made. Notice this marvelous phrase, fascinating phrase in verse 2. Tell her that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What a marvelous statement. There's great discussion about exactly how it's to be understood. Let me point you in this direction that's persuaded me. Alec Mateer, perhaps the greatest living scholar on Isaiah in the world, points out that when it says, she has received from the Lord's hand double, the definite article is in there. It's literally the double. Tell her that she's received the double, or to put that another way, the duplicate, the duplicate. Tell her that she has received from God's hand the mirror image, the carbon copy, the exact replica. And all of us know that none of us can make payment for our sins. So here is what God has done. God took flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. He's come to us. He's taken his stand with us. He has come to act for us. And here is what God has done in Jesus Christ. Taking our nature to himself, he lived a sinless life and then laid it down as a sacrifice for our sins. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. All that was done by me, if I can personalize this for clarity, all that was done by me was borne by him. And he paid the price and he took the rap. And what he bore on my behalf is exactly duplicate, mirror image, the price of every one of my sins. And what he did for all the people of God, if we're to mass all of them together, and the thought of this is overwhelming as it was overwhelming to Christ, is he had paid the price exactly, duplicate, replica, precisely, of every one of the sins of every one of God's people. So that if you think about going into a shop that's not gone high-tech and they're still on the old-fashioned way of writing out a bill in duplicate where you get the white copy and, you know, the vendor keeps the yellow copy or the pink copy or whatever it is. And in comes Jesus Christ and he pays that duplicate, he pays the pink copy. And when you find that you cannot pay the white copy, here's the good news. The bill, because there is only one and it's only paid once, has already been paid on your behalf if you are in Jesus Christ. The duplicate, tell God's people, tell them this, that they have received the duplicate from God's hand. And it's the amazing, amazing payment that has been made for all of her sins. That's why Jesus said when he came into the world, I come to seek and save lost people and to give my life as a ransom for many, a purchase. I've got to pay a price. That's why I came into the world. That's why this baby was born in Bethlehem and laid in the manger. The paying of a price, the laying down of that life, in which God became man and took his stand with us and took his stand for us. And that takes me to the very last thing, and it's simply this. Peace has been established and pardon has been secured, forgiveness. Why? Because payment has been made, and all this has happened through a person and only one person, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Which is why Isaiah goes on to speak words that are taken up by John the Baptist in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make a straight way in the desert, a highway for our God. All the good that is in the gospel comes from this unique and glorious person, Jesus Christ. Take away Jesus and you don't have the payment. Take away the payment and you don't have the pardon. Take away the pardon and you no longer have the peace, peace with God. All this good, all this comfort comes from this unique person who came into the world at Christmas. There was never anyone like him before. There has never been anyone born quite like him since. And Isaiah says this person will come. And who is this person? Prepare the way of the Lord, four capital letters, God Almighty taking flesh and coming into his own creation. It's the most amazing thing that has ever happened. Lloyd-Jones says at one point, he says, is it not amazing to you that the whole world is not standing and applauding that God should do this? And what a revelation of our own perversity that when this love and this grace comes to us in Jesus Christ at such a cost, that we could be so unresponsive, dead in trespasses and sins. Prepare the way of the Lord. Because what's going to happen when he comes is that every valley will be exalted, every hill will be brought low. You think about how that happens in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Who is he? He's God. And he leaves all this glory and he sets it aside and he's born as a baby. That's about as lowering of the heights as you could imagine. And then what happens? He assumes our humanity and making himself one with us and becoming our Redeemer. He lifts our humanity in his ascension back into the presence of God. That's as lifting up of the low places as you could ever imagine, and it all happens in Jesus Christ. No wonder Isaiah says, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. And I end just with these questions. Have you received this comfort? Do you know what it is today to have peace with God because of the pardon based on the payment that came by Jesus Christ? Do you know, if you can't say yes to that question, why would you go home from this service today still pushing Jesus Christ away when he offers himself to you today? Why would you not get down off your pride and get up from your despair and come honestly before the Lord Jesus Christ today and in repentance and in faith say, Lord Jesus, I see that you are everything that I need. And today I want to give myself as best I know how to you and to ask that you will be my Savior. Give me that peace. I need you to pay that price for me. I ask for the pardon, and I offer myself into your hands. Why would you not do that today? As this Christ in love offers himself to you. And if you are Christ's, what are you going to do over this Christmas season in a broken world where so many people are cast adrift in an endless inner conflict and alienation from God, and you, like Jonah, are the one who knows God? Well, over these next days, why would you not seek with God's help to look for every opportunity to speak tenderly and to speak about the peace and about the pardon and about the payment that have come through the person of your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ.
What a great challenge for us as we wrap up our broadcast here on Open the Bible. If we know Christ as our Savior, we are called to speak into this broken world, and a good reminder of what we are to say and how we're to say it. Well, you're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Our message today is called The Glory of the Lord. It's from Isaiah chapter 40, and it's part of a larger series called Waiting for the Lord. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can come and you can listen at our website. It's openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org, and you can listen to not just this weekend program, but our daily program, our daily devotional, and a lot more. Again, our app is Open the Bible, and you'll find it at your favorite app store. Just simply look for Open the Bible. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you an Advent devotional to help you prepare your heart for this Advent season. It's a 24-day devotional from Pastor Colin. And Colin, this is based on Isaiah chapter 40, right?
Yes, it's a marvelous chapter of Scripture to meditate on, especially as we're preparing ourselves for Christmas. And it's so full of good things. I mean, just verse after verse speak to us wonderfully. I mean, for example, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Now, that beautiful image of the flower and the grass fading away, it just speaks to us of the fragility of life. And we all come to places when we're feeling how fragile things are, things that we have, things that are around us, our own lives, the lives of other people we love and trust. And suddenly when you become aware of the fragility of everything in this world, you begin to say, what is there solid? What is there that I can rest on? What is there that will never move? And here Isaiah says, the word of the Lord stands forever. That builds strength into the soul. So this chapter is just full of wonderful, rich truth that will build, nourish, strengthen your soul. And it leads to this marvelous promise that's the title of the devotional. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So if you need renewed strength, this is a wonderful chapter of Scripture for you to meditate on.
Well, we want to send you, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support and to help you prepare your heart for this Advent season, Pastor Colin's devotional book, Waiting for the Lord. You can find out more or give your gift online when you come to openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. Our website is openthebible.org, and again, the phone number, 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. Open the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. God calls His people to speak tenderly into our broken world. Find out why we don't need to invent a message next time on Open the Bible Weekend.